Despite his title, 2012 and the Antichrist. And there's a fuss being made at present on the significance of the year 2012. This paper is to explain the sequence of the events and the significance of the year 2012 in occult understanding and symbolism so that we are not deceived and can recognize the false prophet of the Antichrist system when it is brought into play in the near future. Now it stands to reason that Satan is prepared for the struggle of the last days and has put into place a system such that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. We are able to distinguish the battleground and the time frames from what he has told his disciples. There's a work called Apollyon Rising, 2012, written by Thomas Horne, which deals with a number of aspects that are of significance. The work compiles a series of ancient prophecies and some of the details from Malachi Martin's work, Windswept House. I've written to explain the dates of 2012 and the Mayan and other calendars, which I will explain again here. It also covers prophecies from the Zohar, the Kabbalist work, and other prophecies. The prophecies of Malachi Omagir of Armagh, Ireland, are covered in the paper The Last Pope, number 288, and that is good background reading for this work. The Great Seal of the US is the key to the structure of the New World Order and the structure of the US Masonic system. Its takeover of the Vatican by Satanists and Freemasons is the topic of the work of Martin, and also of Thorne, along with the sequence and timings. The US leadership is the beast power, and Satan and the occultists are developing it for world control. We'll examine that aspect later. What you must remember is that everything and every nation and every person and every body is expendable to the demons. The year 2012 is supposed to be the time of Jacob's trouble and the arrival of the Messiah, but we'll examine that later. We'll also examine Martin's account of the enthronement of the angel Lucifer in the Vatican and in South Carolina in the 33rd parallel in contemporaneous masses or satanic ceremonies. 2012 is the line date for the sun cults. We'll examine more prophecies and see what we can tease out of the time frames. We know that the Messiah gets here after the witnesses are in Jerusalem for 1,263 and a half days. The witnesses are not yet in Jerusalem in sackcloth. Thus the year 2012 cannot be the date for the Messiah, and there must be a system set up for the Antichrist and the false prophet. It follows to reason, given the emphasis placed on it, that may be what the sun cults are working towards. One thing we do know is that the handover will not be all that smooth. Satan and the demons have set up a system in process to fight Christ and the host. It will deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. The works by Malachi Martin also have significance as to what is happening in the Vatican and the US. Know your enemy and you need not fear the result of a thousand battles. That's Sun Tzu. The emergence of one of the main players is outlined in the paper The False Messiah, number 67b. Let's look now and refresh our minds on the Mayan calendar system. Satan has set up a system in the last days and it affects us directly. The following is an extract from the paper Advent of the Messiah, number 210a. The sun system is of importance and the paper has an appendix that explains the Mayan system also. Part 1, Section C, the morning star in the Mayan calendar. We discussed the Mayan calendar in that paper, 2008. There are some important points to note regarding that system. It was not perfected until after the text in the Dresden Codex, around 934 of the current era, and we'll re-examine them here. The Y-DNA system of the Maya is the Q derivatives that occurred when the P haplogroup split into the R and Q subgroups. In other words, biblically speaking, Amerindians are sons of Japheth and close relatives of the Slavs and Europeans. Let's look at the paper Genetic Origin of Nations, number 265, for that. The calendar is thus a post-flood derivation, and given the degree of drift in the calendar of the Dresden Codex, perhaps a not-too-ancient version or variation. It refers back to a system that places its mythological beginnings in the year 3114 BCE, 40 years before the death of Adam. is a complex system that includes the determinations of the rising of Venus as morning star and calculates the time of the current creation, age, or one great year cycle comprised of 13 baktuns, which approximate to 5,125 solar years. The number 5,125 years is alleged to relate to the great cycle, that is, the progression of the equinoxes. Thus, there are alleged to be five ages or aeons of the great cycle, each of 13 baktuns. That is incorrect. The five divisions of 13 baktuns make 25,625 solar years. The 12 zodiacal divisions do not equate with the five divisions of the baktuns of the Maya. There is a significant difference in the totals of the great cycle of 295 solar years. The figures are similar and may represent another symbolic relationship deriving from an early source. The progression of the equinoxes is a gradual backward movement taking 2,160 years to pass through one zodiacal constellation, or 25,920 years to pass through the entire zodiac. There is no sudden and dramatic change. The concept of a great year in Greek thought can be traced back to Heraclitus, but the intent of Heraclitus is unclear. But certainly the ancients were aware of this great year. Plato seems to allude to a great year as the time it takes for the stars to return to their starting point in the cosmos. He says that in the Timaeus 39d, and appears to give a mathematical value for this in the Republic in 546 BC. This would indicate Plato's awareness of some sort of celestial pattern over a great period of time, and Celsus seems to be aware of two movements of the cosmos. So, this is Marnie in an interpretation of Mithraic remains at the URL. The entire Mayan system is based on the number of the heavenly council of the host. The base number is 72, or the Hebdomaconda duo of Luke 10, 1 and 17. It reflects the number of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is itself a reflection of the heavenly council, as we know from the Bible. In 3114 BCE, Adam was alive. The following patriarchs were also alive. Seth, born 3874, died 2964. Enos, born 3769, died 2864. Kenan, born 3679, died 2768. Mahalalel, born 3609, died 2714. Jared, born 3544, died 2582. Enoch, born 3382. Taken or translated on 3017. Methuselah, born 3317, died 2348. Lamech, born 3130, died 2353. Now Jared was Enoch's father. Noah was not born until 2948. Thus in the year 3114, all the patriarchs were alive and present save for Noah. The fall of the host was traditionally associated with the rule of Jared, in that in his day, the host descended and fornicated with women. His father, Mahalalel, allegedly named him Jared in prophecy. The name Jared, Strong's Hebrew Dictionary 3382, means descent and refers to the descent of the host in his days. He was born in 3544 and was 430 years old in 3114 BCE. The descent and interbreeding with the host occurred over this period of time. Enoch testified against the host and was taken by God as a reward for his faithfulness in 3017. The text in 1 Enoch attributes prophecy concerning the flood to Enoch at the birth of Noah, but that is impossible, as Enoch was taken 69 years before the birth of Noah. 1 Enoch 106, 12-13. Jubilees 4, 15-22 also refers. The book of Jubilees holds that Enoch was taken so that he may be a witness against the misdeeds of the generations of the Day of Judgment. He will offer incense on Mount Hatha, which is the mountain of the east, among the four sacred mountains, that is, Eden, the Mount of the East, Hatha, Sinai, and Zion, for the sanctification of the nations for new creation. So he'll offer them for the sanctification of the nations for new creation in the last days, and compare Jubilees 4:24-26. It may be that 3114 is associated with this event and the confinement of the host to Tartarus, The time frame is too spread out to be more definitive. However, the date in 3113 is 70 years before the birth of Noah, and that base number plus 2, 70, is associated with the heavenly host and the nations that they were given to rule in years to come. Thus, we appear to be speaking of the rule of the creation from this date. It is at the beginning of the age of Satan as the morning star over a fallen host under the sun system. Now, the rising of Venus is allocated to one Ahol. The date means the first of the Lord. Ahol is linguistically related to Yahoh and may be a reference to the Elohim of the host. The system is based on a 20-day month which has the name Uinal. The word Uinal means person or man. The number 20 is the number of biblical years required before a person is considered fully grown. There are 18 Uinals to the Tun, or year, of 360 days. The prophetic year is thus stylized to enable man to symbolically develop. The 5 days are adjusted as explained in the appendix to 210A. The years are arranged so as to equal 100 cycles of 72 days, or 360 uinals, a year of months, totaling 7,200 days, which is termed a katun. 20 katuns, or years of months, equal 144,000 days, which is termed a batun. A Bible student can thus see that the entire system is directed at the rule of the morning star under the sun system. It symbolizes the rule of the morning star over this age. The current morning star ruling over this age is Satan. The new morning star is Christ and his elect and 144,000 under the apostles. The calendar seems to be aimed at returning men as gods at the end of the age. However, it has no lunar basis for us to compare it with the sacred calendar. The Venus rounds of the calendar plot the rise of the morning star and predict its occurrence. The Mayan calendar thus represents the sun system under Satan, coming to a close in this age of the creation at the end of the great year in 2012. The end date in 2012 is designated as 13000, meaning that 13 baktuns have passed, being 1,872,000 days. The Zolpin count, which is what it's referred to as, is alleged to have started on the date 4 Ahol and will thus end on 4 Ahol. However, there is much argument now that the start was and the end should be on 13 Ahol. The next great year will be under and symbolized by the new morning star.
This paper was recorded in 2010, and since that time, a great many of the things stated to be going to happen in the paper have indeed happened as we were told. Now, there's also been some archaeological finds which confirmed our interpretation of what was happening, confirmed the biblical scenario as understood by the Mayan long count and the Mayan calendar. Not that they followed the Bible, but their scenario of the long-term nature of the Mayan calendar showed that 2012 on December the 21st was not the end of the age, not the end of the system, and was indeed the beginning of a new sequence of the Solkan long count, and that the next great year will be under and symbolized by the new morning star, as we stated. Now, the Mayan archaeological finds at Xultum in Guatemala, published in early 2012, show beyond question, from the complete building found in the earliest Mayan constructions, that the long count was expected to go on for some 7,000 years and well after the transition of 21 December 2012. Now, traditionally, Mayans collapsed their old structure and built on the rubble, but this early find showed they simply filled the building and then built so that the complete murals were intact and the calendar and its calculations and notations were all intact. The long count ended on 21 December 2012, as our understanding of the Mayan calendar to date states, and went on for the next long count under the new morning star, and showed a new rotation. Now, the Mayan system was thus designed to change in 2012 and appears to have been set up well over 1,000 years ago. The find is dated by science to the 9th century of the current era and predates other finds by centuries. The Mayan civilization occupied Central America from about 2000 BC until its decline and assimilation following the colonization of the Spanish from the 15th century onwards. Many early Mayan sites are still hidden or uncatalogued. The ruins at Uxulpan were first discovered in 1912, and mapping efforts in the 1920s and 70s laid out much of the site's structure. The 2000 BC date is simply an estimate. And remember, this timing fits with the biblical account after the flood and then down to the construction at Babel and the dispersion. So the South Americans came from the Middle East. The god Quetzalcoatl is actually the feathered serpent, and they were taught by Middle Eastern prophets who actually went to South America and brought their system under the god Quetzalcoatl, or the plumed serpent, into the modern age. And these prophets, the prophet, had actually told them of the coming of the Spanish and told them when, in the long count, in this system, the Spanish would come. That's why the Spanish so easily conquered them, because they were waiting. Moctezuma knew that in that year, these white men would come from the west, bringing a new system. So they didn't offer any violence or any real opposition to them. But this system was complete to them according to their structure on the 21st of December, or the solstice, in 2012. And they then saw that as a transition period through until under the new morning star from then on. Now, we would deduce that this was Satan preparing for the end of this long count, the beginning of this age, under the new system that they would try and set up, which would precede the coming of the Messiah. So what we're dealing with is a fudge factor that Satan has set up because of the 2012 dates and the system that he will try and introduce under the Antichrist to get through until the coming of the Messiah. So this is purely an attempt at preempting the system and establishing the Antichrist and the false prophet as some system prior to the coming of the Messiah. So it's getting ahead of the end of the age. And that's then a simple explanation of the complex interrelating systems. That explanation is in the appendix to that paper on the Mayan calendar, which we have had looked at previously. And now we'll go on now looking at some incidental prophecies dealing with 2012 and their occurrence through the Indian rattlesnake prophecies and through the Aztecs and various others. And then we'll bring an update further on in the paper, given the economic developments and plans as they're unfolding in the European system and in the world economic structure, so that they can establish the empire of the beast in the last days under this false prophet, Antichrist. So that the biblical prophecies have already stated this, and they will deal with that development. Listen to the developments of 2012 and through in the different systems, such as Islam, Tibetan Buddhism, and then we'll get through to the economic destruction in preparation for 2012, which we had dealt with going through the global financial crisis, and then how that had been set up under these Masonic doctrines, under the Pike Doctrine. And we'll then add into that some of the details of what is happening in and from 2012 to develop this false economic system.
A simple explanation of the complex interrelating systems is in the appendix to that paper. Now let us now look at some incidental prophecies dealing with 2012. Why are we fixated with 2012? Why is it coming into play in such significant discussion? The Cherokee Indians have a calendar system and beliefs similar to the Mesoamericans. Horn, in his work on pages 311 to 313, refers to the Cherokee rattlesnake or Chickamauga prophecies of 1811 and 1812. The prophecies made by the tribe at that time are viewed as likely referring to the return of the feathered serpent god Quetzalcoatl on the year 2012, but the Mayan and Cherokee calendars end in the year 2012. Horn holds this to be when astronomical phenomena related to Jupiter, Venus, Orion and the Pleiades caused the powers of the star systems to awaken. You notice that two of these are within our solar system. Orion and Pleiades are outside of our solar system in other systems. The portion of the rattlesnake prophecy is as follows. At this time, that is 2012, with the fingers striking Jupiter, that the Orion star system will awaken, and the Pleiades and Orion will war once again as in old. Jupiter and Venus will awaken to its destiny of time untime, of cycles. Orion will war with Pleiades, Jupiter will war with Venus. In the year 2012, an alignment will take place both on the Cherokee calendar and in the heavens of the rattlesnake constellation. It is the time of the double-headed serpent stick. It is the time of the red of Orion and Jupiter against the white-blue of Pleiades and Venus. In the year 2012, the Cherokee rattlesnake constellation will take on a different configuration. The snake itself will remain, however, upon the rattlesnake shall be added upon its head feathers. Its eyes will open and glow, wings spring forth as a winged rattlesnake. It shall have hands and arms, and in its hands shall be a bowl. The bowl will hold blood. Upon its tail of seven rattles shall be the glowing and movement of Pleiades. The rattlesnake shall become a feathered rattlesnake or feathered serpent of time untime. It is thought to have been Quetzalcoatl. And upon the rattlesnake is also the Milky Way. A crossing of the Milky Way shall be seen at these times, that is in 2012. And the Cherokee calendar shall end in the year 2012 with the coming of the Pale One once again. The Pale One was the god Quetzalcoatl, who was a Westerner, who came into Mesoamerica and taught them by prophecies, and they taught them sun worship and human sacrifice. This was probably the most evil thing that could have ever happened to the Mesoamericans. The end of the calendar of the Mayans is generally held to be 21 December 2012, so also with the Cherokee. These actual signs are quite dramatic, and the return of the feathered serpent is scheduled for this time, and the demons are using this sequence to deal with the establishment of the false prophet and the Antichrist. The religious figure is supporting the political figure. The period of establishment based on background chatter from the stargazers is in this year of the tiger, in what approximates December, and will rise through to 2012 from these other prophecies. Let's look at 2012 and the Aztecs. The discovery of the Aztec calendar stone in Mexico on the old site of the Tenochtitlan Temple below the Mexico City Cathedral, on whose site it now stands, saw further explanation of the date. The Spaniards had buried it there. It was rediscovered in 1790, and it was then fixed into the wall of the cathedral. The date 21 December 2012 was the end of the fifth age of the sun god Tonatiuh, which began in 3114 BCE, as did the Mayan system. Tonatiuh demanded human sacrifices over 20,000 people a year, in addition to delivering important prophecies. He was also known as the Lord of the 13 Days, as one death to 13 flint. This is also sacred to Freemasons. In the year that they dedicated the temple of the sun god in what is now Mexico City, they sacrificed 80,000 humans in that year. Now, both Aztecs and Maya believed that the first age, or first sun, was when giants lived on the earth, and they were destroyed by a great flood. This last and fifth age ends on 21 December 2012. Now, Thorne has a good section on this aspect from page 278 onwards. In that section, he shows how the Jesuits and the Freemasons were working hand in hand to decorate the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C., with the occult symbols found in Mexico. Now, the Capitol Dome and the obelisk are used for the purpose of deifying every passing occultist of high rank to that of a god. Every president is deified and ascended into the womb of Isis, which is in fact the purpose of the dome and its decorations. Each ceremony since that of Washington is merely to see them reach their apotheosis, or their deification, and each ceremony is merely preparatory for the final apotheosis in 2012. The dimensions of the obelisk are based on the number 666. The dome and the obelisk represent Isis and Osiris, the female and male principles. The obelisk at St. Peter's is the exact one that was taken from Heliopolis in the temple at Om, and the one dedicated to Ra, Osiris, and also to Isis. The dome and obelisk on the capital represent the same system. The circles around the obelisks represent the female organ of Isis with the phallus of Osiris rising from it erect. The dome of the capital was painted by the Italian Bedramidi, who was organized and worked under Jesuit control. He was sent to Mexico City to the cathedral to copy the Aztec stone, which he did. He returned to Washington and began working for the Freemasons in the decoration of the ceiling of the dome on which he painted all the pagan gods and the Aztec calendar stone, which ends in 2012. It did not come from the Mayans but the Toltecs, and ends at the same time. The Jesuits worked hand in hand with the Masons and have done for centuries. Conflict is a myth. There is no doubt that they are all aware and they all reverence the pagan gods they represent. Washington's body was never placed there. It's an ongoing symbol of apotheosis, or the making of the deity and its resurrection to the heavens as a god. There are three levels there, as there are three chambers in the pyramids in Egypt. Let's look at various aspects. Now, this year 2012 has significance to the Satanists and the Masonic occultists, and we'll examine those aspects. If anyone doesn't think there's been a long-standing relationship between the Masons and the Catholic Church, I'd simply refer you to the cathedral at Uppsala, which was constructed by Masons in the 12th century. And I personally saw Masonic occult symbols carved into the pillars of the cathedral in what should have been plain sight to all the priests, and it's still there right to this very day. We'll also look at the occult symbolism of 22 from the Kabbalistic aspect, from the Zohar, and then from the Masonic occult symbols as also enshrined in the Vatican. The year 2012 was also found in the reconstruction of the I Ching, or the Book of Change, when a graph was constructed with the sequences of the Book of Change based on the Wenyin commentary. It is constructed from the structure of the 64 hexagrams. It was done in 1973 when Terence and Dennis McKenna produced the work, and it was independent of any knowledge of the Mayan calendar. The fluctuations occurred in the last phase, occurred coinciding with 11th of September 2001, and it disappears off the graph on 21 December 2012. This period appears to be the great conflagration intended for the last days. There's also recently a webbot project formed, and that's been picking up background chatter on the internet and began producing dates of catastrophes. It predicted September 11, 2001 and June 2001, and it predicts global devastation in late December 2012. So, says Horn, also on page 309. What's most likely in relation to that September 11, 2001 event is that September 11 was discussed on internet traffic and the web bot began compiling the background data. It would have taken them 6 months to set up the explosive charges using nanothermite in all three of the buildings. And Building 7 was never struck by a plane, but it was collapsed on its own footprint using weaponized nanothermite, which only the US military has. So there seems very little doubt that it was an authorized operation from within the United States to kill 3,000 of its own people and justify going to war. I think that is a crime against humanity for which the Bush administration needs to be placed on trial. Let's look at 2012 and the Zohar. The capitalist work of the Zohar was produced over 700 years ago and was written in medieval Aramaic. It contains mystical commentary on the Pentateuch, in addition to commentary on scripture in the Vayera section, that's in volume 3, section 34, and includes the signs heralding the Mashiach, the Messiah. The Zohar predicts the appearance of the Messiah in late 2012. The Kabbalists did not acknowledge the Christ as Messiah and are influenced by the occult in the extreme. Horn himself said that this could be the unveiling of the Antichrist. He said that he had a discussion with J.R. Church of Prophecy News regarding the Zohar at verses 476 to 483, who was of the opinion that it signaled the time of Jacob's trouble. The Great Tribulation, according to the Zohar, will commence in 2012. From Horn on page 313. And that's common understanding of the Zohar. This will coincide with the timing of the declaration of the false Messiah from 2010 to 2012, as detailed in the paper, The False Messiah, number 67B. And I suggest that you study that in conjunction with this so that you get an understanding of what's happening with the false Messiah and the Antichrist. Also, the next pope is said to be the last pope residing at the time of the destruction of Rome. And you see that in the paper, The Last Pope, number 288. And these events appear to be going to coincide. According to Catholic prophecy, he'll leave Rome over the bodies of his priests. The year 2012 will also be the end of that age, and the comments in Matthew 24 about the days of Noah are being held to mean the heavens will be in great upheaval, as was the case at the time of Noah and the end of the other aeon or age. The basis of 2012 in prophecy. So what's so significant about 2012 to the fallen host, and why are other occult numbers so important? How did they get to be enshrined in occult philosophy and theology? Now Satan knows the length of time he's been given. It's determined by God's calendar. We look at the Jubilee system and its works and what significance is in prophecy. The Jubilee years run in the sequence of 27 and 77 in the current era, and BCE was in 24 and 74 BCE. The way in which the Jubilees can be calculated and identified is explained in the paper Reading the Law with Ezra and Nehemiah, number 250, and also in the paper Meaning of Ezekiel's Vision, number 108. God does not give us laws we cannot follow, and everything for the restoration of the law and the testimony is already contained in Scripture. The 50-year cycle is comprised of seven sets of seven-year cycles, and in the sixth year of the seventh cycle, we are given a treble harvest to take us through the seventh Sabbath year and the 50th year of the Jubilee. The Jubilee year is blown from atonement of the Sabbath year to atonement of the Jubilee year. From atonement of the 50th year, all lands are restored and the land is ploughed in that eighth year to allow the harvest in the Abib of the ninth year, which is the first year of the new Jubilee. This sequence is explained in detail in the paper God's Calendar, number 156, and it's also explained in Tithing, number 161. In the 2nd century BCE, the Proto-Pharisees, who had been influenced by the Gnostics at Alexandria, introduced a bogus 49-year Jubilee sequence and have tried to break the sequence of the law and the cycles ever since. That distortion in the methods and the timing are explained in the paper Distortion of God's Calendar in Judah, number 195b. Now the works of Josephus reflect this distortion, where he, as a Pharisee, tries to insert their views, but has to state the Roman decrees as they were made, which show the correct temple calendar. And the paper shows that fact, as does the archaeological evidence we have found, which is in accordance with the temple calendar. So even though Josephus tried to introduce the Pharisaical nonsense of the 49-year Jubilee, he had to declare the decrees of the Romans in the years that they were given, because they were given in Roman years. And we know from history, for a fact, which years they were. And they do not coincide with a 49-year jubilee. They coincide with the temple calendar of 50 years. And they show that the temple calendar was fully in operation as a 50-year cycle all the way through to the destruction of the temple. Now, the understanding of the Jubilee and their breakup is essential to understanding the plan of God. The Jubilees fit into the structure of the creation week. The cycles of the Jubilees were started from the commencement of the rule of Satan after the closure of Eden. Now, the chronology of the Bible sets the creation of Adam and Eve in the year 4004 before the current era. The Usher chronology was issued with the 1611 version of the KJV, so there's no secret about it. Everybody in the English-speaking world knew about it in 1611. However, Satan was not given his complete dominion until after that. Satan was given 6,000 years to rule this earth as God of this world, from 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, the churches of God have always understood that the week was the 6 days of work and the seventh day or Sabbath represented the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. These days were understood to represent 1,000 years, as Peter said in his text. A day is but 1,000 years under the Lord, and 1,000 years is but a day. If we took the 6,000-year rule of Satan from 4004 at the creation of Adam, then we arrive at the year 1996-7, and the millennium should have started. However, Adam could not be judged under the law because he had not yet reached 30. He was created as an adult, that is, at 20 years of age, but he had to be given 30 years to mature before he could be judged, just as Christ had to be given 30 years for his judgment. Christ was baptized and tested in the year 27 CE, which he declared as a Jubilee, or acceptable year of the Lord, and he then went to be tested. In the year 3976 BC, Adam was tested and he failed, and the garden was closed. The sequence of the Jubilees of the cursed earth began. Over the first period of 40 Jubilees, the earth was given time to repent, and it did not. And God destroyed the antediluvian world and then called Abraham from Ur of Chaldea to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, who was to be incarnated after the next 40 Jubilees. God then established the church as the temple of God and gave it 40 Jubilees in the wilderness. The 6,000 years of Satan's rule ends in the year 2027. These 120 Jubilees are the 6,000 years. The 49-year Jubilee is a satanic attack so that the Church of God is deceived and does not understand the plan of God. God gave us two witnesses, or rather four witnesses, but one is grouped in three. One of these witnesses was in the life of Moses, which was 120 years, and I've explained that, and the other was in the rule of the kings of Israel. And the significance of all of them is explained in the rule of the kings, part 1, Saul, number 282a, Rule of the Kings Part 2, David, number 282b, and Rule of the Kings Part 3, Solomon and the Key of David, number 282c. In that sequence, the first Saul represents the first 40 Jubilees under the demons. The second David represents the physical preparation of the temple and the Bible structure. And the third 40-year rule represents Solomon as the builder of the temple. In other words, he represents Jesus Christ constructing the temple of God in the 40 Jubilees in the wilderness for the 2,000 years, which we undertook from 27 to 2027. Let's look now at the Chinese system. It's no accident the system was set in place that the year 2012 was the year of the dragon and 2013 is the year of the snake, or the serpent. The conflict period from the year of the tiger in 2010 is the commencement of the conflict and struggle to 2013. The occultists and Satanists believe they will control the world in 2013. By June 2013, in fact. We will see that later. Satan's plan. What's he trying to achieve? Why the emphasis on 2013? We don't have to be all that bright to work out, once we know the Jubilees, what Satan intends to do. The Bible tells us he intends to destroy the world and it will be plunged into darkness. Satan knows from the Bible that Christ is sent to cut his time short, otherwise there would be no flesh left alive. From the fall of Jericho and the instructions of Messiah as captain of the army of the Lord, we know that Christ must be here 7 years before the Sabbath year, before the millennium. For an understanding of this prophecy, look at the paper The Fall of Jericho, number 142. Christ met Joshua before they undertook the siege of Jericho, and he told them what to do, and they had to march around seven times, and the seventh time they had to march around seven times and blow the trumpets. So what he was referring to was the 7 days representing 7 years, and on the last year is the 7 vials of the wrath of God. Satan is not an idiot. He knows the meaning of some of the prophecies. He tries to misrepresent scripture. He knows that the law must be read as a witness, and that God does nothing except he warns his people through his servants the prophets. In these last days, he uses the church in the last days. The law has been read on the previous 2 Sabbath years of 1998 and 2005. The next Sabbath year is 2012. The law is read for the 3rd time in that Sabbath year. From the new moon of the 8th month, Satan is allowed to unleash the Antichrist and the false prophet on the world.
And as between 21 December 2012 and the coming of the Messiah by trumpets 2024, to deceive the whole world and destroy it.
Thus he knows that when his period is up, the 2 witnesses will come to witness against him. Elijah will restore all things, which includes the nexus of the law. Thus when Elijah does come and restores the nexus of the law, his rule is effectively over. This fact gives us cause for some optimism concerning that period. However, his minions will fight on. His plan is to produce the great deception at the end of his period, so that even the very elect will be deceived if it were possible. Thus he knew from the beginning what the sequence of the end must be, and the time that the nexus of the law should be restored, and his period of rule would come to an end.
He established the false premise of 2012 as the beginning of the end of his work, and the year that he was set for his occult servants to do his will and deceive the nations to bring them to total subjection.
Thus all occult works had to be in accordance with his plan and according to his numbers and his system, as they were constrained by God. From that year, the destruction of the planet and its total subjection is planned. But that's the aim, is to destroy the whole world from 2012 through to the coming of the Messiah. And if Christ didn't come, there would be no flesh saved alive. Now let's look at the objectives of Satan's plan. The plans of Satan are revealed through the pronouncement of his servants in the occult. The American General Albert Pike had been enticed into the Illuminati by Giuseppe Mazzini. In 1871, Pike, as the 33rd degree Sovereign Grand Master of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry Southern Jurisdiction, to which he had been elected in 1859, completed his military blueprint for 3 world wars and multiple revolutions throughout the world. You think these world wars were accidental? No, they weren't. They were planned in 1871 by Pike, who was a general, and the occultists have been working to that effect ever since. World War One, the objectives were to destroy the Tsar of Russia as promised by Nathan Meyer Rothschild in 1815. The Tsar was to be replaced with communism, which was to be used to attack religions and predominantly Christianity. The war was to be fomented by playing the British and Germans off against one another. They did that and they achieved their own. And they cost Germany and Britain dearly. World War II was to be used to foment the controversy between fascism and political Zionism. The Holocaust was used to advance anti-German sentiment, and the purpose was to destroy the Rothschild creation of fascism and increase the power of Zionism, and also to raise the power of communism to equal the combined Christian world, which objectives it achieved. The combined Christian world, in the meantime, was to be infiltrated by occultists and illuminists in all areas and at all levels. The US was a key in the satanic misuse of Christianity, and as was the Roman priesthood. The post-World War II period was used to advance this aspect most effectively. These aspects were not originally disclosed as part of the Pike Plan, but were the background of Satan's plan for the end result, which we will discuss shortly. World War III was used to play the Muslims off against the political Zionists and force the Christian world, by induced conflicts, which were forced by the occultists amongst their leaders and controlling classes, into a state of mental, physical, spiritual and economic exhaustion. So we understand, World War III was designed in 1871 to play Muslims off against the political Zionists and then reduce the world, destroy the Christian world by induced conflicts, which were forced by the occultists among their leaders. And the controlling classes were involved in this, and they were to be reduced to a state of mental, physical, spiritual and economic exhaustion. On the 15th of August 1871, Pike wrote a letter now in the British Museum to Giuseppe Mazzini stating the following: "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a great social cataclysm which in all its horror will show clearly to all nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origins of savagery and most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the people will be forced to defend themselves against the world minority of the world revolutionaries and will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitudes disillusioned with Christianity whose spirits in that moment without direction and leadership and anxious for an ideal without knowledge where to send its adoration, then will the true light through the universal manifestation of pure doctrine of Lucifer be brought finally into public view. A manifestation will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time." Pike was the most powerful Freemason in America and remained so until 1891. In his work, Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Rite of Scottish Freemasonry, Pike clearly stated the satanic objectives of Freemasonry. He held the right to be the worship of Lucifer, but such knowledge is confined to the 28th to the 32nd degree offices. He said in Morals and Dogma, "The true name of Lucifer, the Kabbalists say, is that of Yahweh reversed, for Satan is not a black god, but the negation of God. For the initiates, this is not a person, but a force, created for good, but which may serve for evil. It is the instrument of liberty and free will. Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness, Lucifer, son of the morning, is it he who bears the light, and with its splendors intolerable, blinds feeble, sensual, or selfish souls? Doubt it not." So do not doubt that these three world wars were planned 120 years ago by an American Freemason in America, and that system has ever since worked to that end, and so have all its successes and hirelings. The current actions against Islam is but a long-planned event, and the hysteria raised against Islam and communism in the West from the US is a planned strategy of the occultists and the service of Satan from the US, aided by those in the British Commonwealth. Let's look now at the numerical structure of the occult. The numbers that are of high significance to the fallen host are 33 and 13. The number 33 is derived from the fact that Satan or Lucifer took one third or 33.33 repeater of the host. That is the reason that the compass and set square is set to exemplify 33, which is also the rank of the highest Freemasons in their occult system. It represents the number of the fallen host. The host descended on Ardis, the summit of Mount Hermon. This was chosen because it stands on the 33.33 latitude, 2,012 miles from the equator at 0 degrees. Thus the symbols fit into the structure of the fallen host and the time frame they were given and planned. The most important occult work is 3 Enoch and the most important witness against them. Enoch was transformed into the occult figure Metatron, and this figure represents a higher form of esoteric knowledge to the demons. As Metatron, Enoch became the angel in the whirlwind. The early occultists were practicing astrologers, and they formed a special occult group with a committee of 300 that is their informed elite. This form of mysticism is behind the child sacrifice and the rituals behind the Bohemian grave ceremonies and the ritual cremations of children or effigies termed doll care. When the early astronomers, who were actually astrologers, fixed the grid in degrees longitude, the north degrees longitude was fixed at a point 2012 miles to the west of Mount Hermon, so the point of descent was 33.33 degrees longitude and 33.33 degrees latitude. Everything on their calendars and their systems was set around these numbers. Thus the long-term plan was set in process thousands of years ago. They planned around it because that was what God had given them as a limitation in time. Let's look at retroviruses, pandemics, and the nations. Part of the warfare of the fallen host will be in the use of the destruction of the human species by retroviruses and pandemics. These problems will be deliberately induced by the Satanists using their pharmaceutical interests. They will make a significant reduction in the human population by these means. The objective is to get the world populace down to below 500 million, so the Satanists think. But the real satanic objective is to completely wipe out the human population. These Satanists think that they can control the system and they'll reduce the population to 500 million, but it's only when they get to that objective that they find out that the objective is to get rid of them as well. At the Tower of Babel, a very significant event occurred and all mankind had their tongues confused and they were changed significantly by altering their lip and thus their tongue. This was done by Jehovah in Genesis 11:1-9. The easiest way to achieve that was simply by altering the DNA of the nations with retroviruses. The purpose was to scatter them and slow their development. And then Horn argues that Genesis 10:8 says that Nimrod began to be a mighty man before the Lord, being derived from the word that Strong's Hebrew Dictionary 1368, Gibor, which was used of the Nephilim, and means that he had suffered genetic distortion and had begun to be a Nephilim, so Horn says on pages 194-195. Be that as it may, genetic mutation by retroviruses and radiation is not only possible, it's almost certain. Population reduction has already been stated by these elite occultists as an objective. The text in Genesis 6:2 said that the sons of the Elohim, or sons of the God, took to themselves daughters of men. They were determined to be fit extensions of the process of reproduction for these sons of God. It was thus argued that the Nephilim or offspring of these men resulted in genetic disruption of the human species, which is what is inferred from the text. And the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees carried on this view. It was expressed in the books of Enoch, 1 Enoch at 10:3-8, in Jubilees and Baruch, in Genesis Apocryphon, and was remarked on by Philo and Josephus in their writings. And we find it also in the book of Jasher 4:18, where it is explicitly stated that the mixture of animal species was made to provoke the Lord. There is no doubt that Noah was saved because he had not corrupted his DNA and that he was pure in his generations. What the opinion of the ancients was in regard to this was that the watchers had begun experimenting with the mixing of animals and were punished for it, as well as breeding with human females. It appears that these beings began taking women and altering the DNA of the human species with animal DNA or such structures along with that of their own system or devices. The experimentation with animal and human DNA is leading in the direction of the same end now as it was when the Nephilim were wiped out. We're about to repeat the same errors, in other words. We can expect to see the same thing happen again. It's under experimentation now, and robotics are being used for cybernetic organisms in warfare right now. The science will be used again to extend the purpose and rule of the demons. Thorne extends this view and quotes their occult followers in this view. Manly P. Hall, the wizard and 33rd degree grandmaster Mason, says Osiris will rise in splendor from the dead and rule the world through those sages and philosophers in whom wisdom has become incarnate. The world will soon come to us for its sovereigns and pontiffs. We shall constitute the equilibrium of the universe and be rulers over the masters of the world, such as Albert Pike, the Sovereign Grand Commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Now Thorne in his work quotes a text attributed to Osiris from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. on page 181, he said, "I am yesterday, I am today, and I have the power to be born a second time." Now, the Book of the Dead actually states that Osiris was resurrected, and in E.A. Wallace Budge's translation of the Book of the Dead, the Kana 1986 print, he says in chapter 18, on page 116 and footnote 2, that a pet was set up in the annual commemoration of the resurrection of the body of Osiris that took place annually at Mendes. A tet is shown in vignette in chapter 155 on page 521, which follows the prayers to Osiris for the resurrection on page 518 to 520. The Satanists think they have powers over the resurrection and will control the universe on an ongoing basis. The coming battle is thus for them a fight to the death for control of the creation. Waiting, they're going to win. Let's look now at the Great Seal of the U.S. In 1933, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, which was allegedly Rosenfeld, and he was a descendant of Claes Martensen van Roosevelt, a Dutch Sephardic Jew removed to the U.S., ordered the reverse of the Great Seal with the Eye of Horus and the motto Novus Ordo Seclorum placed on the back of the U.S. dollar bill. Was a highly symbolic gesture by an occultist. Now, the seal of the U.S. is a series of symbols, of occult symbols, and the eagle is in fact a phoenix, as the early designs show. Now, I'm not going into all the symbolism here, but it is enough to deal with the capstone, which is detached and has the Eye of Horus placed upon it, and the 72 stones, and the date. 72 stones represent the sons of God in the original text of Deuteronomy 32:8, which was changed by the Kabbalists and the sovereign to disguise the host. The 72 are in charge of the nations, and the arrangement is to harness them by occult usage of the Tetragrammaton as the name of God, so that they are controlled and the world is harnessed for occult purposes by these Satanists. The number 1776 is not the date of an event, although it is the date of the foundation of the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt. The date was used to declare the two messiahs of the Sibylline oracles. The number of the god Apollo as messiah and the number of Christ is attributed as 888. The two messiahs of 888 plus 888 equal 1776. Thus, 1776 was used as a date to declare the preparation of the time of change from the Messiah, the Christ, to the rise of Apollo under the Satanists in 2012. The USA was formed for this very purpose. The oracles, the Sibylline oracles, state in Book 1 at 324 to 333, "Then indeed the Son of the Great God will come incarnate, likened to mortal men on earth, bearing four vowels, and the consonants in him are two. I will state explicitly the entire number for you. For eight units and an equal number of tens in addition to these, and eight hundreds will reveal the name to men who are sated with faithlessness. But you consider in your heart the Son of the Most High, immortal God. He will fulfill the law of God. He will not destroy it, bearing a likeness which corresponds to types, and he will teach everything." That's in Charlesworth's edition, his editing of the Pseudepigraphical Writings in Volume 1, Sibylline Oracles 1, page 342, at 1, 324 to 333. Now the Satanists have tried to use the number 888 of the Sibylline Oracles to duplicate the Messiah and replace him as the return of the god Apollo. And thus 1776 was the number of the commencement of the age of the replacement, being 888 plus 888 equals 1776. This was to extend from 1776 until 2012, and for which purpose the United States of America was founded. They were founded in order to give birth to the Antichrist. And there are a number of good works on the subject, and Thorne is a good example. The Great Seal of the USA is the pinnacle of symbolism of the occult societies working within Freemasonry and the associate Illuminati and the secret societies generally. Thorne quotes Manly P. Hall as saying not only were many of the founders of the United States government Masons, but they received aid from a secret and august body existing in Europe which helped them to establish this country for a peculiar and particular purpose, known only to the initiated and few. The Great Seal is the signature of this exalted body, unseen and for the most part unknown. And the unfinished pyramid on the reverse side is a trestle board setting for symbolically the task to the accomplishment of which the United States government was dedicated from the day of its inception. Thorne says that on page 123 also. There's thus no doubt that the US is the instrument of the New World Order and the enslavement of human society. The US and Britain are the military arms of the beast power, at least for the present and until their use has come to an end. The New World Order motto of the seal is in fact a motto for the re-establishment of the age of the ancients and of the mystery cults, which is in fact a descent in traditions from Nimrod to Osiris and his son or the resurrected being Horus. He is the god Apollo and onto the various deities of the mystery cults in whom he is portrayed as the dying god and the resurrected being. They are all the same deities, Osiris, Apollo, Adonis, Attis and Nimrod. The Apollyon of Revelation is assumed to be this deity returned. See also Charles Penglazy, the Australian's work, Greek Myths and Mesopotamia, Parallels and Influence in the Homeric Hymns and Hesiod. Penglazy ties these deities together and traces them back to Ninurta, the king Enmerkar of Uruk, or Nimrod. They're the same. Cavell also, Peter Goodgame in the Giza Discovery, and also Thorne on his work, page 135. That's why the US system is so locked into the binary and Trinitarian system of Attis, Adonis, Osiris, and Baal, and they penetrate every organisation they can force compliance. It may well be the basis of the references by the WCG ministers to the Mesoamerican systems, which they viewed with favour. And that's covered in the paper False Prophecy, because some of their prophecies and interpretations are listed there. The deity represented as Horus is a risen god, the Satanists believe to be the returned deity who is the divine child returned from the heavens to establish his kingdom. This divine child symbol is portrayed in the masonry in Washington, D.C. The being awaited by the Satanists was foretold and was the real purpose of the establishment of the USA and its occult leadership. The Satanists in the New World Order will attempt to bring in the New World Order into world control and using that control to destroy the morale of the world and all power to resist its operations. What they do not realise is that they are being used in order to advance their order and to control the world so that the demons can effectively destroy mankind completely, including them. They are duped, and they are being used, and in the end, they will be destroyed. Thorne advances the idea that from the discovery of Giza, they will use the DNA found there to replicate Osiris and resurrect him. The theory is that they found the body of Osiris at Giza, and they're going to use the DNA to resurrect Osiris. They don't need to do that. And what they will do is set the scene for the release of the demons of the bottomless pit that will proceed to destroy mankind, as we're told in the book of Revelation. It is irrelevant whether they have found Osiris or not. All they have to do is provide a receptacle for the demon, and it can be anyone. This is the objective the Satanists have been working towards for centuries and millennia, long before the US was founded. Let's look at 2016 in the occult. Now, these occult prophecies related to 2012, also a date 3.5 years later in 2016. Many speculate regarding the week of years in the last days, and this position is of itself derived from a false prophecy or mistranslation of Daniel 9:25. Used by Trinitarians, especially in the US. The week of years in the last days will be used to express the period from Sabbath 2012 to the Sabbath year of 2019. Others of the Trinitarian system try to tie the beginning in 2009 where the Antichrist system takes off quietly. But as we see, the two witnesses are not in Jerusalem. The Trinitarian rapturists will try to claim that the Antichrist system was commenced in 2009, however the execution of the duties of Elijah requires to be misplaced to make sense of the sequence. Horn suggests that the 3.5 days from 21 December 2012 and 25 December 2012 may be the death of the witnesses, where they left for 3.5 days, but that is not part of the sequence. It's more likely that the period covers the 42 months of the beast power, and their power comes to an end at that time in the Middle East and Europe. The Trinitarian system can make no real sense of the dates and time frames and produce conflicting scenarios. A look at Horn's work on pages 267 following for these aspects. In order to tie the periods into place, that is, in the period of the generation, they allotted the 70 years of the lifespan to Matthew 24:34. However, a generation has, and is traditionally in prophecy, 40 years and not 70 years. Horn canvasses this time frame on page 270. In that way, the time frame is comprised of 70 years from 1948 at the foundation of Israel to 2018, which ends in the year 2019 at the last day of Adar. But that seems not to be understood, and you compare Horn on page 270 for his comments. Thus, some have canvassed the period 2012 to 2019 as the 7-year period in question. However, God usually brings about massive change in accordance with the calendar and the laws, and that the third year is usually the year in which he executes changes so the law is not disrupted. However, the flood was done in accordance with the sabbatical cycles. Now, the Kabbalist movie junk coming out of Hollywood is making noises about 2012 to 2018 as ending in judgment. However, long before the period is being touted as ending in 2027, that is, long before they started this, they were saying that the period was ending in 2027 at the Jubilee. The real end of the period is in 2025 for the treble harvest for the Sabbath and Jubilee in 2026-27. 7 years beforehand is Abib 2018. Let's look at Islam in 2012. Horn makes interesting reference to the Islamic author's view, referring to the author of the Day of Wrath, Safi ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Khawali, who wrote at IslamicAwakening.com, when Daniel specified the period between its distress and relief, between the era of anguish and the era of blessing, he put it as 45 years. We have already seen that he specified the time of the abomination of desolation as the year 1967, which is what in fact occurred. Therefore the end, or the beginning of the end, will be 1967 plus 45 equals 2012. We might thus deduce that if the Antichrist is established in 2012, then Islam will be deceived, having placed the abomination of desolation in 1967, when Jerusalem was taken by Israeli forces. So the 2012 and Tibetan Buddhism. Over the last few years, we've been getting consistent feedback from the Tibetan Buddhist monks in news reports that a great conflagration is to occur in 2012, and that extraterrestrials who have been watching the planet will intervene to save it. One could well see that as demonic feedback, leading us to believe that watchers are coming to intervene to save the planet. The main question is which ones? The fallen hosts may well appear as angels of light for this last great deception. Indeed, we should expect them to do so. So the watchers that are coming, who are going to control the planet, may be the demons from the bottomless pit. Now let's look at the economic destruction in preparation for 2012. The global financial crisis, the GFC, was a deliberately engineered event in accordance with strategic planning based on the Pike plans for the weakening of the world's economic structure. It's been so successful that Britain's elections in 2010 ensured that whoever was in a position to form government was handed a poison chalice and will not be able to reorganise the nation economically or structurally. The Conservative and Liberal Democratic coalition is deeply troubled from the beginning, or is in deep trouble from the beginning. Greece is too stupid and its people too self-absorbed to realise what it is doing to itself, and they will place other nations of the EU in jeopardy. Portugal, Ireland, Italy and Spain are not far behind it. The aim is to collapse the EU financially so that the world financial controls are brought into play and one world currency is issued so that it can be controlled. It's been well organised by these satanic tools to bring all mankind into slavery, and they are stupid enough to think they can control it. The US is being destroyed by its banking system and is deliberately destroying itself. All of this was engendered for a specific end to commence in earnest from 2010. Do not be surprised at what happens to the world financial system in the second half of the year 2010, this year ahead of you, and on through till 2012. You will see crisis after crisis. Between 2010 and 2012, the world's finances will be in an engineered crisis to enable world government using the so-called global warming crisis and the fraudulent science to enforce population controls and social change to destroy the family and induce satanic controls in accord with the plans.
Now, since the release of this paper in 2010, everything said regarding the financial crisis has occurred or is in the process of occurring. Europe was deliberately thrown into the crisis, and Greece was one of the countries used to engender panic in the markets. By Pentecost 2012, which is when this is being recorded, we had seen the destruction of the Icelandic economy. They had the brains to simply repudiate the banks, repudiate the debts, and let their system collapse and then rebuild. Iceland is now rebuilt, and it's not in the euro. I think that is important. Ireland has gone into extremely austere rebuilding through the collapse of its economy, and Greece, who had lied to get into the euro, misstated its economic problems, is now in the process of going into economic collapse and leaving the euro. Portugal is in the same position, and Spain is collapsing as we speak. But all this was designed to happen that way. The inherent weakness in the eurozone system was one of individual national currencies. They had to set it up so that individual national currencies could exist, because the northern Teutonic states would not go into the euro, and the French would not go into the euro unless they had their separate national currencies. And that was done, as I said, by the northern European countries to protect themselves against financial exploitation for what was seen as the indolent and corrupt south. And Greece had lied its way in and was allowed in because it would be the Achilles heel of a national-based financial system of Europe and the euro. But that was part of the plan. The demons and the New World Order knew what had to be done, but they couldn't get rid of the national system until and unless they had a crisis where the nations of Europe and the nations of the world were prepared to hand over economic sovereignty to the regional entities, the regional bureaucracies, which had been determined from the Club of Rome. So from 1956, they determined the South, these 10 regional bureaucracies, and in 1997, which was the end of the time of the Gentiles, the world leaders met in secret, didn't tell anyone, and agreed to set up this new world financial order. Now it's out in the open. They've now told everyone that that's what they intended to do from 1997, and they made their agreements. But they couldn't get the world to agree to suspend national sovereignty. So they had to engender and develop a crisis from 1997 through to today in order to get this new world economic system. So how did they do that? One of the first steps was from 1997. They had to develop the Americans to repudiate one of the basic financial stable mechanisms. And that was, in 1933, in the Depression, they had introduced the Glass-Steagall Act. And the Glass-Steagall Act made economic provisions that stopped trading under unsound conditions. In order to do that, they had to get the Congress of the United States and the President of the United States, who was at that time Clinton, to repudiate the Glass-Steagall Act, which was done in 1999. So it took them from 1997 through into 1999 to repudiate the Glass-Steagall Act and set up the systems and sequences of trading and these CDOs, these debt obligations, so that they could set up worthless trading systems from 1999 to 2008. And by 2007, they had corrupted the entire banking system of the world. And the banks went along with it. And these banks, run by banksters, which is a crude euphemism developed years ago to describe the corrupt banking leaders who are aligned with gangsters, to show them for what they were, and they had to be allowed to develop these CDOs and create these worthless debt obligations and destroy the world's financial system. They did that with the crisis in 2008. We warned the world that it was happening from 2006. 2007 and 2008, there were continual economic warnings put out by CCG on the Sabbath messages explaining what was going to happen. It did happen, and then from 2010, when this work was written, they continued on through developing Europe, and there was one way of putting the complete world under one world government, and that was to collapse the international financial system so that the 10 regions of the Bible, the 10 kings, the union of 10 kings, which is not 10 nations. Nations were finished in 1997. This is the era of the New World Order and the system of the beast, which began from 1997. The time of the Gentiles, the time of the nations, finished in 1996. Therefore, this one world government had to set up a system where everybody gave their sovereignty willingly to this empire of the beast, which is made up of 10 satraps heading 10 regional communities as an economic system. Now, that's only an interim structure. Those 10 kings will set up, these 10 bureaucrats will set up the one world system under the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And that system will work on special drawing rights, SDRs, which will be given to every person. And every person will be given a number and SDRs, and we will all be under the empire of the beast. And that system is happening now, in 2012. From Pentecost 2012 until the 21st of December, this collapse, this economic collapse, is engineered. Some areas will become more easily entrenched in the system, others will have to go on until they stop resisting and then create these national, international, supernatural, or supranational bond systems, so that there's no national currency left. They go into the regional bonds. Next move is the European bond structure. And once the European bond structure is established, they'll then establish these other international regional bond structures and then unite them under the International Monetary Fund. Now, that seems like a long-winded procedure and seems as though it'll take years. It will not. Do not think that it will take long at all. It will not. Because the chaos will be such that everyone will willingly hand its national sovereignty and its national financial situation to the empire of the beast. And the leaders of the nations right now are all working to that end. They're all run by the New World Order and the beast system. All of our politicians are corrupt, treasonous and working towards the international system. Scripture says that everyone will hand over their sovereignty to the beast, and Scripture cannot be broken, as Christ told us from John 10:34-36. Now Europe is the centre of the movement, and the crisis is manufactured to come to a head in 2012, which it has. I mean, you'd have to be stupid to deny that there was an international financial crisis engendered from Europe. And Greece is, to coin a phrase or make a pun, the Achilles heel of the system. Now, the austerity moves advanced by the centre-right of France and Germany and the nationalists in Greece and Italy and Spain and elsewhere resulted in large-scale rioting and electoral backlash to vote in the leftists, as was expected and planned. Sarkozy got the boot in France because he was going along with Merkel and they wanted these austerity moves and they wanted to face Greece with the consequence of its own indolence and its own avarice. Now what happened was Greece revolted and then they had a new election and the left, entirely predictably, was elected because they refused to go through the austerity measures. Merkel in Germany is being held back by the nationalist system in Germany, and France just got rid of Sarkozy, and surprise, surprise, they elected Monsieur Hollande. And the reason they elected Hollande is because he was a left-wing socialist, and they're taking moderate policies, but their plan was to bring in a socialist utopia, supranational, international socialist utopia, as part of the Club of Rome. So all this has been planned since 1956, and all of it is being brought in accordance with the time frames that God has allowed to the end of the time of the Gentiles and the beginning in 1997 of the last 30 years of the world system until the establishment of the millennium in 2027. It's all in accordance with the Jubilee system and the Bible. The last 40 years occurred from 1987, which is the last generation spoken of in the Bible. They have to get rid of the international system, and the Eurozone has to go through this crisis, which is manufactured for them to go through, so that they bring in the Eurobond system. And that supervenes national financial controls and forces Germany to concede their national sovereignty to the European Central Bank, and the euro then is being, and I've written in the past because it will happen, above national financial controls, as was planned long ago. This was foretold by God to Christ, to John, 2,000 years ago. There's no surprises. We knew this was coming, and we've been waiting for this to happen for nearly 2,000 years. Now, the Eurozone bureaucrats in Pentecost 2012 then came forward as the crisis unfolded and Greece was set to exit the Eurozone and the Euro. They did that with a brilliant idea that the solution was to form a Euro-wide bond system that transcended national sovereignty. This announcement was made by one of the European bureaucrats who was formerly the president of Belgium, on the day before the feast. So, it's already happened. That's the bright idea. It was perfectly predictable, and that's what they had to do to get rid of national sovereignty. And it was designed to capitalize on the weaknesses built into the financial system in the first place. It was planned that the Americas would collapse and follow suit with the financial chaos of Europe unleashed on the world and the global systems planned to follow suit, one after the other. The whole world is forced to give up its power to the beast, and the IMF is to then, in cooperation with the World Bank and the 10 economic regions planned in the Club or the Agreement of Rome from 56, and whose implementation was agreed in 1997, would be implemented. This new world order of the beast will bring the world to its knees over the 42 months of the system. The system will last 42 months, but this economic crisis has to occur to bring the new world order into place. the world will go to war on an ongoing basis. The conflicts escalate from Pentecost 2012 and continue through 21 December 2012 and on into 2013 and beyond. And the conflicts do not end until the treble harvest of 2025. And as an aside, I found it very interesting that Nostradamus had actually predicted this period. They thought that he was working on the Gregorian calendar and the centuries according to the pagan calendar, but he wasn't. I believe that he was actually a Jew who became a Christian, and he was not a Catholic, and he was a supporter of Francis I, and I believe he was working on the Jubilee system through till 2027, and he said in the wars of the end will commence and continue for 25 years. That system is in fact what will occur, because the wars began in 2001, as we stated in 1997, we produced the paper on the last 30 years, the mourning for Moses, or the last 30 years, the final struggle, paper 219. And that system goes through until the treble harvest of 2025, which is 25 years. This system will be supported because the plan is already in place. The time of the Gentiles is finished. God is allowing it to happen so that this system can be brought to a head and destroyed, and Messiah will take over the one world system from Jerusalem. The developing countries will go along with it because they will benefit from the punitive financial penalties against the West, and they will be stupid enough to believe them. Vaccines and Western pharmaceuticals will be used to eliminate developing populations, and the result will be systematic world depopulation. In other words, mass murder on a scale never before seen, and we will see the war of the sixth trumpet, and we will see the plagues develop through, and we will go through the vials of the wrath of God. That is, the church will not do that because we will be with Messiah in Jerusalem when that happens. But those people who are part of this new world order will go through the vials of the wrath of God. The only ones who survive will be those who repent on their knees, and then we can deal with them. Now, the next sequence develops through 2012 in the Vatican. And in that system, we deal with how the end occurs, and that goes through from Benedict the 16th, who is from the glory of the olives, under the prophecies of Malachi, Morgair, Archbishop of Armagh in Ireland. That's dealt with in the paper, The Last Pope, number 288. And the last pope, the 112th pope, which people now claiming is a phony because there are only 111 and they're saying that the 112th was added, of which there is no evidence to that. There was a theory put out regarding that some time ago. But that last pope is called Peter the Roman, Petrus Romanus. And Peter the Roman is actually, according to Catholic prophecies themselves, is expected to take the name Pius the 13th. And he will be the last pope trying to establish Roman control and Roman supremacy. But the time will be so troublous and so problematic that Pius through 10th in the 19th century said that he would leave Rome over the bodies of his priests. And that system will see such war, and Rome will be destroyed over that period. And much of it has to do with the scheming and the conniving of the Roman and the Trinitarian churches. The Trinitarian churches, the harlot daughters of the whore, will go back into that system, and they will try and get rid of every sect and every denomination that is non-Trinitarian and doesn't comply with the things that they want done as part of their system. They will fail, and they will see they will cause so much crisis and so many problems that, as their own prophets tell them, they'll leave over the bodies of their priests. But that time of the end is spoken of by Daniel in Daniel 11, and that sequence in Daniel 11 goes through where they occupy the Middle East, they occupy the area from Gaza through Jerusalem, the king of the north spreads his palatial tents, that system tries to take control and goes to war with the Islamic system in the Middle East, and then the end comes and Rome itself is destroyed, and the end comes with a flood. And that system then is at the coming of the Messiah. So we expect to see over the 42 months in which the beast power is in the Middle East, 42 months is 3.5 years, which is 1,260 days, which is 1,263.5 days of the witnesses. And in 1,263.5 days we will see them resurrected, and you will hear the archangel's trump, and we will then likewise be resurrected. That is, those who have fallen asleep will be resurrected, and we will then, with them, if we are still alive, go to Jerusalem, be translated, go to Jerusalem, and be ever with the Messiah. And that these people, once that happens, will realize, once they hear the trump, and once these witnesses are resurrected, it's all too late. That's why Revelation's saying that the kings of the earth are hiding amongst the rocks and saying, fall on us to protect us from the wrath of the Lamb, because they realize it's too late, they got it wrong, they were lied to by these back-to-front-collars Trinitarian priests, and there's nowhere to go. And they're going to do what they're told, or they're going to die. And as we were discussing, the bins around the churches will be full of these back-to-front collars because nobody will want to be seen dead in one. And these priests will be dealt with. And quite frankly, we will deal with them because it's our time from then on. And we will take over the world, and all the people, a great many of the people in Jerusalem, with the Messiah, with us, will have been killed by this system. They'll know what they're all about. They'll know how to deal with them. And that, you will see, will be the end of the Trinitarian, Vatican, and the system of the sun and the mystery cults. All gone, all finished, systematically from that time through until the 7 years of the vials of the wrath of God are finished and the world is repentant or dead.
The developing countries will go along with it because they will benefit from the punitive financial penalties against the West, and they will be stupid enough to believe them. They will condemn many of their people to death by cooperating with these Satanists. Vaccines and Western pharmaceuticals will be used to eliminate developing populations. The result will be systematic world depopulation. In other words, mass murder on a scale never before seen. Let's look at 2012 in the Vatican. In his work, Winsworth House Malachi Martin described the ceremony for the enthronement of the angel Lucifer as God in the Vatican with a concomitant service in South Carolina in the US, also held symbolically on the 33rd parallel. The ceremony took place on June 29, 1963. The ceremony is conducted in accordance with Satan's prophecy that foretold that the time of the prince would be ushered in when a pope would take the name of the Apostle Paul. That requirement was a signal that the availing time had begun. Malachi Martin, page 7. Paul VI was that pope. Number 6 of itself had occult significance. The name John Paul was of itself a continuation of the availing time. The availing time was a period from the enthronement of Lucifer in 1963 for a jubilee period of 49.5 years until 21 December 2012. The jubilee of 50 years ends in June 2013 in the year of the serpent. The ceremony in South Carolina in 1963 was controlled by Roman Catholic prelates in communication continually with the ceremony in the Vatican. It was a truly a Satanist ritual conducted by Satanists within the Roman Catholic Church, both in the Vatican and in the US. The targeting chapel, as it was called, was conducted in the basement of a local parochial school property furnished for the occasion. The ceremony involved the things that were necessary, but which could not be conducted in the chapel in the Vatican, such as sacrifice and child rape and the cacophony of satanic noise necessary to the service. Martin wrote the work because he was most concerned over the total penetration of the Roman Catholic and the total Trinitarian Church by Satanists whose aim was to control and destroy its influences by sex scandals and pedophilia and corruption. Over the first 20 years of the availing time, the use of altar girls has increased all over the world, and the use of them in the US and the competitions around them had taken on the aura of beauty pageants, minus the swimsuits. The Slavic Pope, as they called him, was against them, but he turned a blind eye to it all. So also did the abuse of annulments, the endless oratory. Over 50,000 annulments a year are made by the Catholic Church for bogus purposes. And there are endless other topics while he pursued ecumenical objectives with all sorts of faith, including voodoo priests. The emphasis of the Slavic Pope against birth control also was against the interests of the US system, and Martin details the conflicts in the use of an agent, allegedly Rosicrucian, that is, Gibson Appleyard in the US, to go to Rome and speak with the Pope for his softening his stance on birth control. The Pope was opposed to the UN agency under Bishara Francis in favour of accelerated birth control, which was part of the New World Order objectives to reduce population. This included abortion. The move by the UN is to enforce abortion on demand in developing countries, and the UN is using world financial controls to encourage it. There is a move right now to alter the Constitution of the Republic of Kenya to allow abortion on demand, and they are including the introduction of Sharia law for the Muslims to get them to vote for the amendments. The US president was trying to pressure the Pope into producing a declaration that two children per couple were to be the norm for both Catholics and non-Catholics alike. The Slavic Pope had refused, and thus negotiations were commenced to persuade him. John Paul II gave in and prepared for his visit to Russia and Ukraine. He stated clearly to Appleyard that the visit was organised under the direct will of the Queen of Heaven. Thus he was pursuing the objectives of the goddess and the mystery cults. In other words, those of Satan. At the same time, the Vatican administrators tried to get him to sign a resignation protocol. And that's in Martin on pages 521 to 522. John Paul II had allowed the RCC to be destroyed by the ravages of heretical teachers in the seminaries, by immoral bishops and cardinals in the congregations. He allowed the school children to be educated by non-Catholic systems and the nuns to be destroyed by waves of secularizing feminists. He protected none of them, and not even the church buildings themselves. Chapels were denuded of altar and tabernacles and confessionals and statues. So Martin on page 642. Benedict XVI replaced him in accordance with Malachi's prophecy and is continuing the destruction in accord with the Satanist objectives, and the church will absorb other Trinitarian groups and be transformed on time as planned into the religion of the beast power. You can see the paper World War III Part 2, The Whore and the Beast, number 299b. The end result is to destroy all Christianity and turn the world religion into the worship of Lucifer. Martin's work is a very good explanation of the control and political games played in the Vatican and the influence of Satanism there. Let's look now at the final deception. The elect will have to have their wits about them. This sequence will be confusing, and the witnesses have to restore the nexus of the law for 1,263.5 days before Christ returns. It's fairly safe to assume that the adversary would not waste so much time and effort in producing such comprehensive occult symbols unless they were critical to the events of the last days. We should also note that the world's calendar is a product of satanic influence on the monk Denis Exiguus, or Denis the Short, who constructed the calendar in error and set the date for 1 AD over 5 years too late. Thus the date and sequence were all organised in accordance with the occult timetable set in the current era. And look at the paper of Christ's age of baptism and the duration of his ministry, number 19, and the significance of the year 2000, number 286. There appears to be more than a coincidence that the mistake made by Denis the Short sets the current era in accordance with the other national prophecies that equate with 2012 and the setting of the fallen host and Mount Hermon in the world grid. The major world figures are the unwitting and many witting servants of Satan. They are more deceived than most and think they will have power and control for millennia, as we've just seen. They are deluded and they have no longer than 2025 to live unless they repent. But they have learned the deeper things of Satan, and that carries its own penalty.